Blog Talk Radio. Amen. you for tuning in tonight. We've got a little bit of a late start, but we are here, and we're glad that you're here, too. Welcome to tonight's show. I am one of your hosts. I'm Tanisha.
I am Terrence.
And today is June 1st, 2022 at 7:16 p.m. Central Standard Time. And welcome, welcome, welcome to Prophetic Grace Network. So we're in June. So we're counting down like we're going into the last 6 months of this year. So I don't know about you guys, but this year has been very eye-opening for me. God has been doing what he said he is going to do, and it's just going to ramp up as the year ends. So really excited. This is, again, a year of accelerated harvest. This is a year of divine vindication. To me, I don't know if you guys have been following the Johnny Depp Amber Heard case, but I've been loosely following it. I like to follow cases. Sometimes I heavily follow them, but this one I've been loosely following because it's always been my opinion that it seems like it was like a Jezebel spirit was in the midst of this case. And we all know that when we wrestle not with flesh and blood, principalities and wickedness in high places, and sometimes we don't know what we're fighting. You know, the only thing we can identify is the face of the person who's coming against us and not what's powering them, the spirit that's powering them. And I could clearly see the Jezebel spirit powering Amber Heard. And so to me, with Johnny Depp winning his case today, and I was not on either side when I started following this case. I can't say that I'm like a huge Johnny Depp fan or anything like that. So just to know that there's no bias on my part, but just listening in and just kind of hearing some of the testimony and things that went on, I immediately identified Jezebel's spirit on her, just felt sorry for her, because a lot of the times when people are under the control of a spirit, they don't realize that that's what's going on. They really feel justified. And that is such a nasty, nasty spirit that makes its host believe in the lies. They buy into the delusion, and that is their truth in their mind. But today, the victory of Johnny Depp was symbolic to me. And I told Terrence earlier, I said, it's to me, as I saw, it's prophetic that Jezebel spirit is going down this year. That was just not, you know, even though it's in the secular court, but it was symbolic to what God is doing in the earth in this season during this year, that Jezebel spirit is coming down. So the people that are under the influence of that Jezebel spirit, if they don't follow God, if they choose not to be separated from it, then they're going to face the consequence in the natural, because this is a year of vindication. Whether you're seeking the vindication or not, God is going to vindicate this year. And oftentimes when you see injustices, when you see a lot of manipulation and vindictive behavior, at the very root is that Jezebel spirit. So I want you to take heart, like the song said earlier, and just wait. You know, when Terrence was going through one of the worst times of his life, I remember I didn't know what to say to him. And so I asked the Lord, what do I say? Because I had no words. And as y'all know, I'm a very wordy person. I'm talkative. So for me to not know what to say, for me to not know what words, knew that the situation was pretty serious. And the Lord told me to play that song for him that I played for you at the beginning of the show, to buy a band called Loud Harp. And the song is called Take Heart. And the song is basically about somebody who's going through some distress, and they're telling them, take heart. And he's saying, we'll wait for you. We'll just serve you, Lord. We're just going to wait for you and take heart. And so if you've been in a situation where there's been some injustice done to you, doesn't have to be through the court. Injustice could be done in everyday life. It doesn't have to be through a court case. Know that this is the year of divine vindication, that God is going to vindicate you. Because sometimes we do try to right wrongs with our justice system. Sometimes that's the path that God wants us to take. You know, sometimes he tells us to do nothing. And that feels like the person is getting away with it. And I tell my children this, I tell anybody this, I tell you guys this, I tell everybody that the biggest lie that I believe mankind believes is that you get away with things, that you can get away with it. You get away with absolutely nothing in life. Mm-hmm. That is a lie from the flaming of all flaming pits of hell, that you will get away with it. God sees it all. God knows it all. God is not on vacation. He's not napping. He didn't watch a football game and kind of miss what happened to you over there. Like, he is aware and he does vindicate. But God is loving. He's full of kindness and grace, and he gives time. You know, the people that you don't like, God loves. And so he's giving, a lot of times, he's giving them time to get it right with him. Because ultimately, even though somebody may have wronged you, they ultimately wronged God. And he's trying to make them get it right with him. That's what's important, getting it right with you. If they die tomorrow, their salvation is not hinged on if they got it right with you or not. It's hinged on if they got it right with God or not. And so that's what he's doing. He allows time and opportunities for people to get it right with him. But just know that divine vindication is coming. God will vindicate you. Scripture I got for you guys, going through some stuff earlier this week and asking God how to deal. And this is the scripture he gave me, so I'm going to give it to you because I feel like maybe people don't know how to deal with what's going on in their day-to-day life, what's going on in the world, right? There's all sorts of stuff going on, rumors of war, disease, pestilences, and talking about monkeypox and all this other kind of crazy stuff. And then who's saying, oh, there might be a pandemic, we're not sure. So a lot of times people have a hard time coping. But I want to read you the scripture that God gave me to quiet my heart and to quiet my thoughts and to say, look, I got this. You're going to be fine. It's Psalm 89, verse 1. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. I will sing of the goodness and loving kindness of the Lord forever. With my mouth, I will make known your faithfulness from generation to generation. That's it. That's all. Okay? So a lot of the times when we're in a crisis moment or if we're feeling down or if we just don't even know what we're feeling, just sing of the goodness and loving kindness of the Lord. Sometimes it's not that God has to do something. Sometimes you just got to praise your way out of it. You don't need directions. You're waiting on on God to send you the coordinates so that you can get out of a funky mood or a bad feeling or something. Just praise your way out of it. With your mouth, make known his faithfulness. From generation to generation, make your own song in your heart. To sing to the Lord, praise your way out of it. That's what I have to do. Like, you know, God, you're so good, because it's so easy to get caught up in small things. It's easy to get caught up in even big things, right? Because some things really are a big deal. Some things are a big deal only in our mind, but some things are truly a big deal. But it's easy to get caught up in it, whether it be real or perceived a big deal. But if we focus our attention on the Lord and his loving kindness, right? Let's read that psalm again, Psalm 89:1. I will sing of the goodness and loving kindness of the Lord forever. With my mouth, I will make known your faithfulness from generation to generation. What are we learning about the Lord in this psalm? We're learning that he's good. We're learning that he has loving kindness and he's faithful. Those are good, amazing qualities. That when you're in crisis mode or when you're in a funk or when you're in a slump or when you're confused or when you just don't even know how you're feeling, it's good to know that you serve the one that is goodness, that's loving kindness, and that's faithful. You know, God's not going to say, I'm not faithful to you because you did something I didn't like, so I'm done with you. No, he's faithful even when we're not faithful. He's good even when we're bad, and he has loving kindness. Even when we're hurtful and hateful, this is who you serve. And so no matter what you're facing or feeling today, know that this is who you serve. This is what they possess, because you could be serving people, right? Let's say, you know, you're on some high-powered job and you're trying to climb up to the top and you've got some big shot mentor to help you get there. You don't know what's on the inside of them. You just know what they're able to do and produce in a work environment. You don't know what you serve. They could be backstabby and two-faced and step on your necky and all sorts of other qualities that you're unaware of. And you're sitting there serving that person hoping for an expected result. But with God, he's all good. He's loving. He's kind. He's patient. He's gentle. He's faithful. This is what you serve. So it's not like there's going to be some monkey wrench thrown into things where you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't expect that. You can expect that he's going to be faithful. You can expect that he has good plans for you. You can expect that he's working all things out for your good, even your slump, your funky mood, or the big deal that's real or perceived that you're dealing with, because this is who you serve. And so that alone should give you peace. That even though I'm in a storm, I can have peace in the midst of it. Even though, you know, my nerves might not be on the best, but I can have joy that I can tap into because of who I serve. Not who I am, but who I serve. Let's know that. Let's give God the praise for who he is. Let's thank him for the accelerated harvest that we're experiencing this year, even if you haven't seen it. Let's thank him for the vindication. Let's thank him that Jezebel spirit is going down. That Jezebel spirit is got its hand in a lot of stuff, even stuff that you might not be aware of. Till that thing comes tumbling down, till she gets pushed off her tower and eaten by the dogs. So we're going to see a lot of that. So just be rejoicing that tonight and be grateful for that tonight. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. Good word. You know, and just to kind of piggyback, because we ain't going to be on before you are long. Like sometimes you ain't got to keep pounding and pounding. You know, it's just a reminder tonight because, you know, we're talking to believers. We're talking to people of faith. We're talking to those that are followers of Christ. And when you're following Christ, and like Denise was saying, you know, you really got to focus on basically what God is thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to serve God. You got to serve God because over in Colossians 3:17, you know, it talks about, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And so when we're doing it, you know, we ain't doing things to please people. We're doing things to please God. And sometimes we err when we be trying to please people or spare people's feelings about certain things. We got to do it as, you know, as unto God. And because God is the one that's going to handle the people, not us.
Right.
God handles you. You know, and so if it's something that he needs to get done, he would prompt you, you know, instruct you, give you directions, you know, to do it, you know, and to get it done. And so that's how we really need to be with one another and really treat, you know, our relationships, even with people, because sometimes we don't want to hurt people's feelings. We don't want people to look at us differently, you know, because of our shortcomings or issues or things that we have in life. But the main focus is mainly on what God thinks of you, you know. And so when we put him first, then, you know, everybody else will line up by default that's following him.
Yes.
You know, because when we trust God to deal with everybody, you know, because we all have come short, you know, of the glory. We all have sinned and come short. And so when we know that it's a level of humility that comes along in our lives. There's a level of things, there's a more care, I think, that we have when handling people, when we understand that we all have sinned and come short, because it's never the person that we are jumping on. As believers, it's a spiritual warfare. The Bible doesn't talk about physical warfare. It doesn't say we wrestle against flesh and blood. Mm-hmm. He said we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
Yeah.
And so it's not that person, although we see this person in this shell and we identify the shell, but it's the spirit that we have issues with. And so how we deal with the spirit, you know, we have to deal with those spirits in the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so we have to pray. A lot of times we want to talk. A lot of times we want to have these conversations and never pray.
Mm-hmm.
We want to have conversations before prayer. And we want to confront before prayer. A lot of times, you know, God will have you pray. And then he'll give you directions on instructions on how to deal with things. So doing things as unto God, just really doing things to please God will really get us further along, you know, and really how to deal with each other, you know, really how to deal with yourself. Because we never want to get to a point to where we expect more from others than we expect from ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then depending on where these people rank in our lives.
Right.
You know, because we mentioned, you were talking about it earlier, you know, even when it comes down to our children, you know, like, you can love your child, but you cannot like them. I mean, it just is what it is. You know, I can definitely not like your ways. I can definitely not like the spirit that you possess, but I love you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and because I love you, I'm going to give you correction. You know, I'm not going to avoid it. You know, and so many of us, because we always, you know, talk about becoming better parents and really how learning how to parent the children of this generation.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're from a different generation, and we understood things differently.
Mm-hmm.
There were certain things that were told to us, we got right then, and now we say things, same things, and it's like trying to make a marble on glass.
It's like trying to jar the wind.
It's like trying to just
build something on quicksand, like it just disappeared. You're just like, what happened?
Right. And so that's why we have to really, you know, go back to doing things after God, man. We got to seek the Lord for all things. We got to seek the Lord on how to parent these children, how to communicate, you know, effectively.
There you go.
You know, effectively communicate. Yeah, we turn our children over to God, but yet he still called us to be stewards over them, to train them. And so we want to make sure that we give them the proper training that they need, that's governed by God.
Right. Now we don't walk off on the job.
Right. We don't want to walk off on the job, and we don't want to deviate from what God has said.
Yeah.
Today's society wants to deviate. They want to alter things. We want to do it a new way,
mm-hmm.
you know, instead of the right way.
There you go.
Man, come on, man. There is nothing good outside of God. God is good.
Right.
Literally. God is love. Literally. And so if we deviate from doing things the way God has designed it, we will always run into problems.
Each and every single time. That's why there's instructions.
We got instructions. And because we look at our societies, we have deviated from the plan of God. We say that this country, in God we trust. Yeah, but who is your God, though?
Right.
You know, they portrayed it. You know, you go to court and they put a whole Bible up on you and tell you, put your hand on it and raise it and want you to swear on the Bible. But y'all don't even follow the scripture.
Right.
All the loopholes in the law. If it was straightforward and it was designed by God and governed by God, like, what would you need loopholes for? And so it just goes to show that we really have to stand on our square when it comes down to serving God and being kingdom citizens and doing it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are other ways of doing things, but there's only one right way.
That's it. There's no alternative right.
Right.
You're either obedient or you're not.
Right. It ain't no several rights out there. You can go, that's right too. No.
There's no alternative obedience.
Mm-mm.
Because it's one or the other. We live in a world that teaches that there is a gray, right?
Mm-hmm.
There is a lukewarm. But God says you either hot or you cold.
That's it, man.
If you lukewarm, I spit you out. And if God created everything with his mouth and he spits you out, his mouth, it's like you don't even exist.
Right. It's even like just it's just funny to hear it, because we like to hear our children talk, because then we get to see what they're consuming.
Right, what they're exposed to.
And absolutely. And we was talking about like different shades of our colors, you know, and like what's considered light skinned and dark skinned and this, that, and other. And we was listening to what they call light skin. I'm like, how do you change what's light into something else because that's what you think it is versus what it is?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the society that we're living in now, to where they want to change things and just call it what it is because that's what they feel like it should be.
Even though their site is telling them totally otherwise.
Yeah. I mean, you can see it right there, right? So the delusion is real, and so we understand that Satan is really on the rampage because God is not the author of confusion.
Mm-mm.
And that's confusing to me. And they are speaking so eloquently and so confidently in confusion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're dealing with. And so tonight, we're just going to touch and agree in prayer that we all be touched by the Holy Spirit to do things as unto God, because when we make God our focus, when we make God our source, then we will see God in the earth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we will see God in our relationships. We will see God in our movements, because regardless of what society is doing, the greatest influence should be in the homes.
Mm-hmm.
The greatest teaching should be in the home. So if you ain't having conversations with your children, you should start. And I'm not talking about having these conversations just to have conversation, you know, and just to see what they're thinking, but no. To hear what's being said, but then to tell them what's right.
And yeah, ask them their views on
that. Right. Yeah.
So like Tara said, not these cat in the hat, you know, conversations. Like
mm-hmm.
really get into some in-depth conversations.
Absolutely.
To see, because out of the mouth flows the issues of the heart. What is in their heart?
Right.
You know, what do you think about
right.
choosing your gender? What do you think about abortion? What do you think about, you know,
mm-hmm.
how much is this society and this world influencing their thoughts? And then ask them, why do you believe that?
Right.
You know, because, you know, your high school friends believe that, or you're like, what is the root? What's the foundation
mm-hmm.
of your belief? What do you believe about, you know, male, female roles,
right.
or God-given roles? Are there roles given, or can people just do whatever they want to do? Like, what do you think about people having premarital sex? Like, what do you
right.
think about marriage? A lot of kids nowadays are saying when they take all these surveys, they don't even believe in marriage anymore.
No, they just want to have babies and
mm-hmm.
put men on child support.
And put people on child support. Like, it's crazy what the mentality is. And you could be saying, oh, wow, that's wild, and don't even know that wild mentality is right under your roof.
Mm-hmm.
And it's up to you to train them in the way that they should go. It's
absolutely.
Not about having arguments. It's not about having debates. It's about exposing the lies and telling the truth.
Absolutely.
Because guess what? If they are believing in the lies will fail them.
Right.
Because that's what a lie is going to do. Lies don't stand the test of time. They are not ironproof. They're
mm-hmm.
not ironclad. They are not fortified. You know, they are flimsy, weak, and they look strong, but they're not. They will fail them.
Right.
And so when those lies fail them, they will remember what you said. You know, tell them in love. Don't be angry. You know, if you're going to be angry at the devil.
Absolutely.
And fight in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
But as parents, we need to be more aware. We can't just be making assumptions. Well, nobody from my household would think that. You'd be surprised. And if you don't ask, you don't know what they're thinking. Don't make
yeah.
assumptions. Don't
parents,
you assume.
Parents, you better be nosy.
Mm-hmm.
You better be a P.I. You know, because God has entrusted you as steward over those children.
Yeah.
Don't abandon your post.
Don't, because it's easy to do that, especially, you know, with how these children think. Parents was talking about earlier how even the shows that they watch,
mm-hmm.
they're not like the shows that we came up on.
No.
That was all about respecting parents and listening, and that your parents knew what was best, even if you didn't quite understand. It's about disrespecting parents and telling your parents what to do and running them and educating your parents on what's hip cool and how they should think because they're out of touch and all that. It's a bunch of bull.
Mm-hmm.
It is a bunch of bull. But you need to know where they stand.
Absolutely.
You need to know what they're thinking. You need to know what's influencing them because some parents would be very shocked to know what type of shows are on these wholesome, quote-unquote, wholesome networks.
Right.
And they're tapping into this homosexual agenda and all mm-hmm. this other stuff in there, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you're thinking, oh, it's just some neutral, wholesome network. You better be watching what they're watching and knowing what they're watching.
Don't let Disney fool you.
Don't let any of these networks
fool
you.
Don't let Nickelodeon fool you.
Don't let anything else raise the children that God has entrusted to you. And don't make assumptions about what they think because you better know, you know, if they've got social media, you better be checking what they're posting on their social media. And,
mm-hmm.
what their friends are posting and all that kind of
Absolutely.
Stuff. We have a job and a responsibility as parents. And again, it's not about fighting them. It's about you're supposed to train them up in the way that
mm-hmm.
they should go.
Right.
And if you see that there's some error, then you correct the error.
Right.
I'm not going to fight you. I'm not going to body slam you. I'm not going to elbow drop you. I'm not going to throw a Bible in the back of your head. I'm going to tell you the way that you should go. And I'm going to give you fair warning that your thought process and what you're standing on is wrong and it's in error and it's displeasing to God and you better quit following your friends and society because they will pie piper you right to the gates of hell and kick you over the edge.
Now, body slam might be warranted this time. I ain't gonna sit up there and just say that, you know, because
I think that might be highly frowned upon.
I don't care what they gonna frown upon. Sometimes it's what's needed, you know what I mean? But one thing I know us as parents have a misperception of. We really don't have a clear understanding of protection. When we want to protect our children, we think it's about keeping them from something.
Right.
Instead of educating them on it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good.
You know, the world is wide open. You know, but the key to parenting is educating,
mm-hmm.
training. When every lick of training that I went through, they did not hold back the information.
Right.
They gave me everything that I needed along with scenarios.
Yes.
You know, so that I was properly trained. So that when I got out into it, if I didn't do anything else, I always failed to the level of my training.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to ask yourself tonight, parents, how's your training?
Right.
How is my training? As a trainer, you need to grade yourself on training.
And don't grade yourself based on what they're doing.
Right.
Because Terrence and I talked about this a couple weeks ago. Because we haven't talked to you guys in a couple weeks. We've been mm-hmm. having graduation and performances and stuff going on,
mm-hmm.
family coming in town, that kind of thing. But we were talking about how a lot of the times parents, the enemy would try to get a hold of your mind because you would think you failed because of what your child is doing.
Right.
But at the end of the day and the beginning too, people do what they want to do.
Absolutely.
People will do the wrong thing with the right information. People will do the wrong, you know, and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
Right. They'll do,
they
can do the right thing and was
right.
And came from wrong training,
mm-hmm.
bad household.
Absolutely.
So what they do is not an indication of your level of success. The word of God says you train them up in the way they should go. And when they're old, they will not depart from it. So they might have a wild period. They might really look like they were raised by wolves and you're the wolf. But do not allow the enemy to make you feel like you're a failure
right.
because they're making their own choices and they're making their decisions. That is on them. When they stand in judgment, when they die and stand in judgment, they will be judged by God. When you die in judgment, you'll be judged by God based on what you did, not on what they did.
Mm-hmm.
All you do is train them up.
Right.
But they still are responsible for their own choices and decisions, and they are accountable to God for that. And so your training makes them even more accountable because they know better.
Absolutely.
And so if they continue on their bad paths, eventually, again, the lies are going to expire. They're going to show themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they know that they've been trained a certain way, they're going to revert back to the level of their training
mm-hmm.
because they're going to see that their ways, their methods did not work. And so let me try mama's way, or let me try daddy's way, grandma, or some of you guys are grandparents raising kids, or aunts and uncles, or have adopted kids. Whatever child God has entrusted in you, they're going to revert back to whatever you trained in that particular area. So don't be discouraged because they're taking another path or they're following other trends or whatever the case may be. You still train them in the way that they should go. And like Terrence said, you don't avoid. A lot of parents stick their head in the sand about certain topics or try to shield their kids from it. Now, it's one thing of shielding a young child away from things that are completely inappropriate. Mm-hmm. You know, that's different.
Right.
Like how they're trying to sexualize all these things, and five-year-olds don't need to see sexual things. They're five. You know what I'm saying? So that's different.
Mm-hmm.
But alternative lifestyles, different faith practices, beliefs, that kind of thing, you cannot shield your children from that. They're going to be exposed to that at school, in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to teach them how to respond, right? You have to teach them what God says about it, what you say about it in mm-hmm. love. Because just because somebody thinks different, I mean, you treat them like trash or anything like that. You got to mm-hmm. teach them how to love people and still not agree with the person's lifestyle and how to subtly minister to people.
Right.
To get them up out of that, because that person believes that their, you know, lifestyle is okay, or their faith or practice is okay. They're not trying to cause nobody any harm. They're not,
right.
you know, trying to be.
Just don't be disrespectful.
You know what I'm saying? So you have to teach your children how to love people despite mm-hmm. their beliefs, practices, lifestyle, and how to minister to them and how to show love and how to show the love of Christ to people. But mm-hmm. if you're not even teaching them about these alternative faith beliefs and lifestyle, when they get exposed to it, they're either going to be mean and nasty because they don't, a lot of people are mean to what they don't understand, or they're going to be even more intrigued and more in tune to fall into it because it's something new, exciting to them. So you got to train them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you really got to ask the Lord for his help with the little person that he's entrusted into your hands.
Absolutely.
It's not for you to try to figure it out. Oh, I'm just going to read this book. No, go to the Lord and say, Lord, how do I train my child? What do you, how do I, you know, there's basic principles, of course, but mm-hmm. each person has individual needs. You know, parents of multiples, you know this. You might have one child that needs a lot of attention. You might need one child that needs a lot of, you know, hands-on, that might have a child that likes to watch you. You might have a child that likes notes, letters. You got to, you know your kids, and you have to ask God to help you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you need the Lord's help at all times.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we continue to journey, you know, and, you know, us as parents, we really have a very, it's not an easy job. You know, no trainer really has an easy job because you're training people on something they don't know nothing about.
Yeah.
And then you get people that go through training acting like they know what's going on, but ain't even been trained on it. You know, but we could go a lot of different you know, ways, and we might have to do a part two about it because it's really been heavy, you know, on me about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because us as parents, make sure that you have rules in your home, and you make sure that those rules are followed. And if they're not, those you should have consequences.
Mm-hmm.
And because there's still a level of respect when it comes down to it, you know, because you don't allow children to run your home.
Mm-mm.
Your boss at your job ain't finna allow you to run his company. You know what I mean? You ain't finna get in nobody else's car and run their car. and you ain't paid now, no, or insurance. You know, so it's about knowing your place. Knowing your place, and everybody has a place at a certain time in their life.
Absolutely.
You know, and so we as parents need to make sure that we stay firm and stand on our square fully, you know, with the guidance of the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
And so let's pray, and then we want to go ahead on and start asking some calls because we ain't talked to nobody in a while. You got anything?
That's it. That's good.
Lord, we thank you. Again, for tonight, Father God, we thank you again for this moment and opportunity to come together and experience you. Lord, we just thank you for being with us tonight, Father God. And We thank you for loving us. First loving us. We'll never understand why you do, but you just do. And we're grateful. We're so grateful that you do love us, and you see beyond our faults, and you see to our needs. So, Father God, we thank you for being the need supplier. And, Lord, we just thank you for making sure that all the needs are met. We thank you for loving people in our lives. We thank you for family. We thank you for friends. Lord, we thank you for our jobs that we are on, business ideas. We thank you for our health, our strength, Father God. We just thank you for being in our right mind, Lord. We just thank you for still having an appetite, Father God. If somebody tonight is dealing with an appetite issue, Lord, restore their appetite,
yeah.
Lord, to be able to eat foods that you designed for them to eat. Because we could go so many different ways, you know, with diets and stuff and wanting to eat this because somebody else has success with this. But, Lord, you are a personal savior. You are a personal God, Father God. And, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that us as individuals will come to you to seek what it is that you have for us individually. That we can get to that place in our lives where we trust you more than what we trust around us.
Mm-hmm.
To give us instructions on how we should live, where we should live, what we should wear, what we should do, what we should eat, how we should talk, how we feel. Lord, we just want to trust you with that in our lives, Father God. We just thank you. We just thank you. We just thank you, Lord. Thank you for protection, Lord. We just thank you for this network, Prophetic Grace Network. We thank you for Randy and Julie. And, Lord, tonight, Lord, we just thank you for your word going forth and being received tonight, and change occurred.
Mm-hmm.
Change occurred. In Jesus' name, Lord, we step aside and we yield our mouths to you. We yield our tongues to you tonight, Father God. And as your willing vessels, Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit flows freely. We have no shame. We have no hindrances. We allow your Holy Spirit to move and do what you've assigned it to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 That was a good one. Good prayer.
Well, welcome. I don't know what I say. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Let me eat the old joint. What is this? 731-334. Who mm-hmm. we speaking with? Where you calling from? That turned up. Mm-hmm.
Hi, this is Ashley from Wisconsin.
Hey, Ashley.
Ashley, how are you?
I'm doing good.
You got any cheese? And Wisconsin known for cheese.
Yeah, that threw me off, and then I thought about it. I was like, oh wait, Wisconsin is known.
See, your husband knows something. See that ass? I snuck up on.
Literally threw me on. What?
Tanisha is very smart. I learned a lot from her, and I'm not ashamed to say this. Okay.
Thank you.
All right, I'm not ashamed to say this. You know, I learned a lot from my wife. You know, and. It trips me out when she say, I learned something from you. I'd be like, get out of here. You already knew this.
No, Sam's a smart too.
You know, but I ain't smart as she is. She's very smart. I can't compete with her.
No competition.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for asking tonight, Father God. Lord, we just thank you for standing up. I see like you've taken like a seat. Like you've been sitting down and being patient and just kind of like waiting your turn, you know, not really, you know, trying to be outspoken or seen or anything like that there. But I hear God saying it's time for you to really, you know, stand up and really be heard and not worrying about whether people are going to take you serious or not. you know, and really worrying about what they're going to say because, you know, maybe they've never listened to you in the past or whatever. They kind of blow you off and ask me, you know, and just keep moving. But no, this time when you stand up and you stand firm and you speak with the confidence and assurance, you'll be heard.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be heard. But you standing up is going to open up so many doors and opportunities and in your development and in your growth in the knowledge of Christ and in being a front runner for the kingdom during these last days. There are a lot of people that's connected to you, Ashley, that need to hear from you and need to hear from you. So get ready to write books, get ready to do podcasts or blogs or what have you. It's just time for you to stand up and begin to share the love of Christ in the way God wants you to share it. You know, because you know, religiously, we really try to box God in. Ms. Tanisha was talking about this earlier. We try to box God in on how we think, you know, things should go forward through religion.
Mm-hmm.
But it's about relationship. God is using you in a way that's going to connect with the people that he called you for. And that's it. And you make no excuses. You ain't got to apologize for being and doing what God has called you to do. That's because it's different from how so-and-so did, or, you know, they don't do it like that over there. You know, we weren't taught to be done that, to do it that way. And the key word in that is taught. But what did the Bible say? When Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. He said, I'm going to leave you with the Holy Spirit, which will teach you all things.
Mm-hmm.
So let's be taught by the Holy Spirit. And not taught by traditions, the traditions of man, because it's still a form of control. The Pharisees, Sadducees wanted to control how Jesus moved.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus, he didn't come to be controlled. Jesus came to conquer. You can't control a conqueror. You can't control the savior of the world. Get out of here. You know? And so we just thank God for opening that up to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you getting a full revelation of that and walking in that with full confidence and accepting and receiving who God has called you to be and doing it the way God has called you to do it. So just stand up. I see you standing up, man. That's what I got for you.
Amen. Lord, we thank you right now. For Ashley, we thank you. It's like what I saw when Tara said, the cheese thing. And I saw people that come after you walking on Swiss cheese. So it's like they're going to, like the holes, like they're going to fall through the holes. My sister likes to say that when things are not right, she'll say that thing's like Swiss cheese. Because it's shot full of holes. And that's what I'm seeing with you, Ashley. It's like a lot of times people want to stand on things, and they have to stand on things, especially when people lie. They have to stand on their lies, and then they have to walk their lies, right? Because we have to walk in this life, and a lot of times people say walk your truth or live your truth or whatever, but they fail to remember that people also are walking their lies and standing on their lives. But I see like people who are not being forthcoming or not being truthful concerning you, it's like it's going to look like Swiss cheese.
Mm-hmm.
And when they try to stand on it, they're going to fall through the holes. Or when they try to walk on it, they're going to walk through the holes. Because one thing about Swiss cheese, eventually you're going to get to a hole. So it's like maybe at one point they're walking the perimeter, but when they want to get closer to the edge, you know, maybe there's a hole right there and they're going to fall through it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's funny because my parents saw that, but I saw you walk. I saw people walking on cheese. I'm like, what? But so what the Lord is basically saying is that when people are not forthcoming or when they're not truthful and they're not doing the right things, it's not, it doesn't stand.
Mm-hmm.
It won't stand up. I mean, imagine building a house on a foundation of Swiss cheese. It's ridiculous. It's not going to stand. And that's the equivalent of it. Because if you've ever eaten Swiss cheese, there's different types. Some of them are harder than the other, but they're not something that you could build on. They either are crumbly or they're soft. And then you've got the holes. So that's the equivalent of it. It's like a person trying to build something on cheese, which is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely ridiculous to try to build a foundation on cheese, like a house, to build a house on cheese. It's going to stink. Mice will eventually be drawn to it, eat it. It's just not going to work. There's so many different scenarios and variables that make it not work. The fact that it's just absurd alone. But even if somebody were to say, you know what, I think I can accomplish it, because people are wacky and they always are trying to do weird things. But let's say somebody really did try to build a house on a foundation of cheese. Between the weather, the elements, all these things, it's not going to last. And so people who are not forthcoming or truthful concerning you and their dealings with you, it's not going to last. That foundation is shot full of holes, like my sister would say, like Swiss cheese. So, Lord, we thank you for Ashley, the protection. We thank you, Lord, that she doesn't have to worry about people. People are the least of her concerns.
Mm-hmm.
And she just focuses on serving you and doing what you call her to do, and all that other stuff works itself out. That's the design that you've put in this earth to where things work themselves out. That's why we reap what we sow, because we sometimes if people keep sowing bad seeds, bad seeds, sowing bad seeds, sowing bad seeds, their seeds will take care of them. So we don't have to focus or worry on that. We just forgive people, pray for them, pray the best for them, and keep pushing and moving ahead. So, Lord, we thank you that her focus is on you and doing the work of you, Father God, and not worried about people who are not honest or forthcoming or that just do not tell the truth or try to be beguiling or misleading or whatever they're doing that's manipulative, that's shot full of holes. It's not going to last. It's not going to stand the test of time, and people will see right through it. So we thank you for that, to give her that comfort to know that she doesn't have to worry about that. Because it's already taken care of. It will take care of itself. Because that's just not built to last.
Mm-hmm.
But what we do for Christ is what lasts, and that's what the focus should be on. So we thank you for that. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Wow, those are amazing, amazing words. They were definitely for me. Thank you guys both so much.
Wow. You're welcome.
You're welcome. Do you have anything in particular that you want prayer for?
Could you pray for my brother, Colin?
Colin?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Lord, we thank you for Colin tonight, Father God. We thank you for I see like a history lesson, like really, really knowing true history. I don't know if he's like a history buff or whatever, but like really, I see God really giving him like a spiritual history lesson, like in how he was made and like how everything that is, how it really was created, you know, and really giving him a heart to really seek the truth and acknowledge the truth. Because you got a lot of people that seek truth. And then when they are confronted with the truth, they don't want to believe it. You know, and so we just pray that Colin receives it. When he hears it, he receives it. Mm-hmm. He hears it and receives it. He hears it and he receives it. And he follows it. And he continues to move and operate in truth in every day of his life. And we just pray for healing. Healing in his body, because sometimes, like when you're hurting and things are going on with you, your faith wavers. You know, the enemy will really play with your mind and really get you to thinking that, hey, it's impossible. you know, this ain't going to happen. It's about that and this and another. So we just thank God for him being open to this and receiving all that God has for him. You got anything? In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that was for him too.
Wow. Look at God. Mm-hmm. He be moving.
Amen. 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 Well, we thank you for calling, Ashley. It's always good to hear from you. And you hold Wisconsin down. Wisconsin is great because you're there.
Oh.
Don't let nobody else tell you anything different.
Oh, thank you. You guys are so encouraging. I appreciate you guys so much.
Thank you.
Our pleasure.
Thank you for calling in. We love you.
Wow.
You too.
Wow.
Next one here is 111111.
Who could it be? 111111.
That would be me.
Hey, Carmen.
What's up, Carmen? How you doing?
Hey, that first song you put on, oh, mm-hmm. My goodness. Every time that I hear that song, first time I heard it was on Prophet James Grabiel's show. Mm-hmm. And if he's listening, God bless you, brother. And that is a very anointed song. But what's it titled?
It's called Take Heart, and the band is called Loud Heart.
Take Heart, Loud Heart?
Mm-hmm, Loud Harp, H-A-R-P, Loud Harp.
Oh, harp. Okay.
Yeah,
oh, that is an awesome song.
It is. They've got these great songs. It seems to me like when you listen to their music, it's really designed for those who are really like seeking God, like even when you're in like a brokenhearted or a confused state or just, you know, that's what that song ministers. It's almost like a healing balm. But when God introduced me to that band years ago, it was just like, wow. Because like every one of their songs, it really touches the humanity of our walk. You know, how we have questions or we don't know what's going on sometimes. And it really ministers to that. So a very anointed band. But yeah, that song is really anointed.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I can feel it every time I hear it. There's a strong anointing on it.
Mm-hmm.
And talking about cheese, somebody was talking about cheese. There is a book named Who Moved My Cheese?
What?
And it is a great analogy. Yeah, Who Moved My Cheese? And it's about these four little characters. When the cheese is all gone, some of them are afraid to move on.
Mm.
And to look for more cheese. And sometimes God moves our cheese so we can move on and look for greater and better things.
Wow.
So, yes. It's a little book, and it was a bestseller for many years. And it's still out there. You might find it in a thrift store or something. But it's an awesome book, and companies used to use it. Churches used to use it because it's a good lesson in it. And so there's the different types of people, what they do when the cheese is no longer there.
Interesting. So, I'll have to check that out. I love books, too.
Yeah, it's a little book. You can read it in the night. It's a very, very good book. And so I just wanted to say we need to pray for our country because another shooting a little while ago in Tulsa,
what?
Oklahoma, a mass shooting in a hospital.
Oh, my gosh.
In Tulsa, Oklahoma. Yeah. So we we really have to be prayerful about that. And, that's all I'm saying. We need to be praying. And if you don't know how to pray, just lift it up and pray in tongues, and God will hear the perfect prayer, regardless of if you know how to pray or not.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And so the word that I got for you, Carmen, when you said your name, I saw you like a Statue of Liberty, like how she holds up the flame and that kind of thing and what she symbolizes. Now, we know that this country has a lot of symbols and things that they claim to hold on to that's just not in effect any longer. But God is using you like a spiritual Statue of Liberty, not just to be something that looks nice and something that sounds good, like, oh yeah, the land of the free. God is really going to use you to set people free in the judicial system. It's like I saw you in front of a courthouse, raised with your hand raised, with your flame, like the Statue of Liberty, to give real freedom to people. Because people go to court, they're looking for relief, right? That's why they go to court. They're looking for relief, or they're looking for justice, and they're not going to find it most of the time, because we have a very corrupt court system, whether it be family court. Family court is extremely corrupt. It's like probably one of the most corrupt of the court systems. Mm-hmm. And you have criminal court, you know, but criminal court, I was teaching my son the other day, because he was saying, we were talking about career choices. He's 13. And I'm like, you're 13, so just ask the Lord, because at 13, there were things I wanted to do that I don't want to do now. So I'm like, you know, life goes on, you learn more, it will change, but ultimately you need to ask God. And he was asking me about the criminal court system and attorneys and that kind of thing. And he was like, as long as you've got the truth, you'll win, right? And I'm like, no, I was like, the criminal system is really who can present a better case. It's not about truth. It's not even about facts. It's about who can create a better case. I said, because you can have truth, and let's say they collected some evidence that's concrete proof that a person committed a crime, but if they collected it and didn't follow protocol, now they can, the other counsel could go to the judge and throw it out. And now it doesn't come into play at trial, and so now the jury doesn't have all the truth, and they make a decision based on half-truths or not being fully aware of the truth. I'm like, so that's not based on truth. It's based on case. Who can present the best case? It's not based on truth. Because it's so loophole.
Exactly.
And that's why so many things fall through the cracks. So many people get off when they shouldn't get off, or so many people get convicted when they should not have been convicted, because it is a very corrupt system. Then you've got the family court that profit off of fatherlessness and child support and all these different things, and are against fathers. And so the whole system is built around creating a environment where there's a lot of contention, and there's a lot of like the language and the orders are very hard to read, so that you can keep going to court, so that they can keep profiting. It's not for the best interest of the child, but it's cloaked under the best interest of the child. Very corrupt system where you need absolutely no evidence. You can lie and testify and say, oh, this person did this, that, and the other, with absolutely zero proof, no evidence, and the judge can make a ruling based on your verbal testimony alone, because it doesn't require any proof, which is corrupt. So I was just teaching him about the corrupt system. So you have people that's going into this lion's den, so to speak, thinking, like my son, oh yeah, as long as I have the truth, I'm fine. You know, you're accused of a crime. Well, I've got the truth, so I'm okay, not knowing that they're going through this corrupt system. Or, oh, hey, I'm going through a custody battle or whatever's going on, or my kids are in a bad spot and I want to get custody of them. And so I've got proof, evidence, and all this stuff, and thinking that's going to go good. But all the person's got to do is lie, and now your whole case is turned around. And so you have people that go into these courtrooms looking for relief or looking for justice and not getting it, because it's not rooted or based in the truth anymore. But God's going to use you to turn that around, so that people get the relief that they need. People get the justice, not from these judges or these attorneys, because most of them are in on it, but from God. That you're going to, I don't know if you're just going to go to courthouses and just be praying on the steps. I don't know how God's going to use you to do that, but God's going to use you in that justice. And even Terrence and I, we have a call for that, for God to use us to turn things around judicially. Because that system literally makes me sick. Like at one point in life, I wanted to be an attorney for a very long time. From childhood, I wanted to be an attorney. I thought that's what I was going to do. And the more I learned about the system, the more turned off and wanted nothing to do with it. because it is so twisted and sick. It has absolutely nothing to do with truth or best interest of children or whatever part of the criminal system. It is about money, profit. It's corrupt. It's got the devil all up and through it. But I know God's going to use me on a spiritual sense in that system to turn things around, maybe even a political sense. I don't know.
Yeah, because I just want to go in there with a baseball bat.
Terrence said that. He was going there with a baseball bat. And I'm like, well, then the people that are scared off with the baseball bat, more people will come with the corruption. We got to get to the root of that system.
Yes.
So, Lord, we thank you for Carmen. We thank you, Father God, for using her as a liberty, to give people liberty, true liberty. Yes. And the only true liberty is found in truth. Because freedom only comes with truth. The truth is what makes us free. Not lies, not corruption, not distortion, not manipulation tactics and loopholes. We don't get freedom from that. We don't get relief from that. We only get true freedom from the truth. Mm-hmm. So thank you, Lord, for using Carmen as a bearer of truth and one who's unafraid to speak the truth, no matter the title of the person, even to stand up and say, these judges in this courtroom are corrupt,
mm-hmm.
or these attorneys are not good attorneys. They're not for the client. So thank you, Father God, for her boldness to speak the truth so that freedom can come forth. Let it be done in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. All I got, Carmen, is to set the record straight. And God using you, of course, to set the record straight and teaching people, you know, not to walk in fear, but awareness. Because when you're fearful of things, you begin to make emotional decisions, and then you're being led by the wrong spirit, because God didn't give us a spirit of fear. He gave us love, power, and a sound mind. And so when you're teaching, when you're setting the record straight, you're teaching people how to walk in love, sound-mindedness, and walking in power. And understanding that they have the power of God living on the inside of them, which protects us,
mm-hmm.
which is our protection. And having knowledge of things, you know, makes us aware of what's going on. Yeah, we need to know what's going on so we know what to pray for, so we know how to deal with it. And that's what I got. We just thank God for that. Blossoming and like really God giving you a tangible way to make that happen in the earth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, I understand what you're saying. And let me explain. A lady came to me, someone that I know, and she was saying, well, we got to vote and this and that. And I was like, uh-huh. And so in our conversation, I always talk about voting. And she says, you should run for this type of office. And I'm like, that'll be disobedient on my part because God didn't tell me to do that. And
mm-hmm.
so as we were talking, the Lord said, well, how do you walk? And she sheepishly said that she wasn't doing that great. And I told her the way that she's going about it with the elections and everything, that she needs to remember that when God gave Israel a king, he wanted to be their king.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want them to have other kings.
Mm-hmm.
And that she needs to focus on the King of Kings. And that she needed to, you know, get back in line. And so she asked me a lot of questions, and I gave her the answers to how she needed to approach things. And I told her that if she needed help, that I would be there for her. Well, you know, she, in her own wisdom, she thought that she was being sold. And so she continued to, you know, persist. And, oh, yeah, and this and that. And my friend, I mean, I don't hang around with her, but she considers me her friend. Well,
mm-hmm.
this lady is a judge.
Wow.
And so she's been texting me. I'll be giving her the word of God. And we have reconnected again. And I believe that that's where God is using me to to influence the court system. And she deals with everything. She deals with a lot of things. And so we don't necessarily have to be the ones up front. We could influence other people's lives for the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll do it. We just have to be wise and allow God to use us where he wants us to be used, not where we think we should be used, so that we could be seen. It's not about us being seen. It's about lifting Jesus, letting him be seen. He says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. It's not draw all men unto you.
Mm-hmm.
So, and yeah, I was involved a little bit with that, with the courts. But now you're saying the same thing, and I'm like, Lord, what are you doing here? But I think it's through that lady that God is using me to influence her so that she can be closer for God. And every time she'll say something, because everything she thinks she's saying is wise, but I can, bam, I humble that and I bring it up with the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we have to be very, very discerning, because it sounds good and it may, you know, seem good in their eyes, but it has to be good in God's eyes. And so, yeah, I understand what you're saying. Amen.
Amen. Wow.
Wow.
That's good stuff.
All right. Yeah. You be blessed. God bless you.
All right. You too, Carmen.
Wow.
What a, that was amazing. Mm-hmm. What we're going to do, since we're running low on time, and I want to get off on time tonight, because I want you guys to be able to call back at 8:45 and put your hands in the queue. We're going to just start praying over area codes and prefixes. So next is 225-270. We thank you very much, Lord, for 225-270. We thank you that they can have full assured confidence in you, that you are, that you're paving the path. It's like I see you in a jungle, and God is paving the path. Because when you're in a jungle, if you ever, like, I don't know if you've ever seen anyone for real or have seen one interacted, like one of those, you know, you can go online and do the interactive things. But with jungles, the trees and the greenery is so high, you, if there's not a path, you literally can't see in front of you, like, at all. You don't know if you're out of it, you're still in it, you don't know if it's 2 miles, like, you don't know. And so I see you, God, like, carving the path for you in the jungle. It feels like you're in the jungle, like, right in the jungle. You don't know what's lurking. You don't know if there's a lion around the corner or some sort of rattlesnake, a mountain. You don't know what is lurking because it's just so much greenery and it's so tall, you know, it's taller than building some of it. And so you don't know. But God said that he is all the protection that you need and he is going to carve the path. You don't need to see ahead. All you got to do is see Jesus. Look up. You don't need to see what's in front of you. Just look up and see the Lord. There's a song we used to sing in church called I think it's called I See the Lord. I see the Lord. I see the Lord. What is it? I'm going to look it up. And I'm going to sing it to you, even though I cannot sing. But you know what? You agreed to that too fast.
I was, you know.
There it is. By Ron Cano. I see the Lord. I see the Lord exalted high upon the worship of the people of the earth. I see the Lord. I see the Lord. My eyes have seen the King, the Lamb upon the throne, who reigns forevermore. That's your song. That's all you got to do is see the Lord. And don't worry about what's ahead of you. Just see the Lord. Look for him. And he's going to carve out that path. He's going to make sure that you don't fall off the cliff or get eaten by a lion or a snake doesn't come and bite you in the neck. Like, you don't got to worry about what's lurking. Just see the Lord and play that song. I See the Lord by Ron Canole. So Lord, we just thank you for them, for the protection, and for you carving out the path in Jesus' name. Amen. Next one is 202-722. Look at what Chana Singh did. I'm gonna go give me some water. You take care of that.
Wow.
It's an
IC.
All
right.
I see dry throat. Is what I see. Let me go get some water.
There's little parts behind that. You did a good job, though.
Thank you.
Absolutely. 202-722. Lord, we thank you for 202-722, Father God. We just thank you for ramp. I see like an engine, like when you rev an engine up, whoom, whoom. You know, I like cars. I like motors. I like the sound of engines and stuff. And normally when you rev the engine up, you letting people know what you got under the hood. you letting the other people in the cars know, like, you really don't want to, you don't want to try to race me or nothing like that. You won't win.
Oh, okay.
And so I see God using you like to rev things up, basically allowing your voice to be heard and letting people know, like, you know, letting the devil know, like, you don't want this. You don't stand a chance with what I got under the hood, you know, and that's a confidence that you have to walk with. That's a confidence that you have to have in the body of Christ. You know, we're not timid people. You know, Jesus wasn't around here, you know, bowing down to nobody. Jesus is a king. You know, and kings don't hold their heads, you know. The Bible calls us ambassadors for Christ. Kings have ambassadors. And so if you do things about how kingdoms work, the ambassador is like the mouthpiece of the king. And so wherever they went, they treated the ambassadors with the same respect that they would a king, because he's carrying the word of the king. And so that's what you do now. In life, you let the devil know what, like, you don't want this. You don't want to know what I got under this hood, because what I got under here is built right, is proper, and it's going to outrun you, period. And just continue to flow with God and walk in that boldness that God has placed on the inside of you, and allow the Holy Spirit to rev you up so that you can be heard in Jesus' name. Next caller, is it 502-548?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Well, we thank you right now for 502-548. We thank you for the comfort of knowing that your word is true, that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Take comfort in that, because that means it doesn't matter what you're facing. It doesn't matter what you're hit with. It doesn't matter what comes your way. It's all going to work for your good. All of it. Like, when I tell you that there's been things that I faced in life that at the time that I faced them, it felt so devastating. I felt so defeated. I felt so like, oh, it's over for me. I'm done for. And that very thing ended up working for me. It ended up working for me. It ended up producing, right? Because when you think about it, something that works produces. When you go to a job and you work, you're producing something. So for something to work out for your good, that means it's going to produce for your good. Something's going to come out of it. All things are working together for your good. It's produced. You're like hearing all things are producing for your good. It's productive. So the very thing that feels like it's going to take you out, the very thing that feels like it's going to just work your last nerve that you have in your head, is going to end up producing for you for good, producing for good. So Lord, we thank you, giving them that revelatory knowledge. Sometimes we can have head knowledge, but not revelatory knowledge. So let me read to you before I get to the next one. Actually, we're probably about to end it because it's about 8:30. But I want to give you the definition of revelation before says the act of revealing or communicating divine truth, something that is revealed by God to humans. Okay, because you can read it, it's words on the paper. But what is God revealing to you about that? Ooh. I want you to have revelatory knowledge that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Ooh. It's not words on the paper. Ooh. God is revealing, he's making known, right? Let's read some more about what revelation is. Enlightening or astonishing disclosure. A pleasant, often enlightening surprise. Enlighten your mind tonight with the light of God's truth that it will work in all things. Do you hear me? Not some of the things, not just the stuff to the right, the stuff that's over, that crosses this line. No, all things. All things work together for good. For those who love God and are called according to his purpose. It's not words on a paper. It's going to work. All of the things are going to work for your good. Do not let that thing stress you out, take the wind out of you, make you give up, make you be in despair, make you give up hope, make you curl up in a ball, have you losing sleep, can't eat too much. Whatever it's doing, stop it, because it's going to work out for your good. And we thank you for that revelatory knowledge, Lord, that it let those words be revelation in their spirit so that they can be tenacious and continue on. They can press through. They can push. They can punch their way through. They can keep going because they know, I don't care what you throw at me. I don't care what happens. It's all working together for my good. That's a promise, and that nobody can take that. Nobody can snatch it. Nobody can trick me out of it. That's just a fact. Mm-hmm. Understand that in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to just do a collective prayer because there's a whole lot of you with your hands. There's a lot of you in tonight. We got a late start, and I apologize about that. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. We come collectively, Father God, as a body of Christ. We pray for those who are affected by today's shooting. In Tulsa, Father God, we will not cower down to fear. The enemy is trying to put fear into our nation with all these different shootings. So people are afraid to go anywhere. They're going to be afraid to go to school, hospitals, grocery stores, all these different places. But we will not bow down to fear. We will not cower to fear. We will rise up. We will come against that enemy. We will come against the devil and tell that this is not yours, that we are here, planted in this earth, kingdom citizens, and we're going to do kingdom work in Jesus' mighty name. We're going to spread the truth.
Yes.
We're going to spread love. We're going to spread hope, and we're going to do it in Jesus' mighty name. And Lord, for every person who's hearing the sound of my voice, Father God, I just pray for divine revelation, for the calling that you have on their life, that they will be bold, that they will not bow down to the ways and methods of the world, where the world says, I got to do this. Submit and be obedient to what you are telling them to do, and that they will boldly do and go where you called them to go.
Yes.
And that they will have success.
Yes.
As a result, do not let the world system dictate how you move and operate. You move and operate based on what God is telling you. If he called you and told you that you're called to do this over here, and if they need a degree, I don't care what you need. You do what God has called you to do. You be where God is telling you to be, and you say what God is telling you to say, and you will have success.
Mm-hmm.
I speak success over everybody who's listening to the sound of my voice. Success for those who are obedient in Christ. Success for those who do not bow down. Success for those who are walking in your path. And let us not cower in fear. Let us be beacons of hope and truth for this dying world. Let that be done in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We love you all. Call back at 8:45. Hit 1. Get in the queue. Randy typically prays over everybody on Wednesday nights after he gives his word. Stay strong and stay hopeful in Christ. We love you. Good night.
Good night.